Welcome into the Live Rewind podcast, where players and coaches join DP in the garage to talk about a memorable game from their career. They sit down to watch the highlights from Channel 1450 and talk about the game. In this episode, Springfield High senior Ben Hartle talks about the 2019 city baseball game between the Senators and Sacred Heart Griffin. This podcast is brought to you by Country Financial. They are big supporters of Channel 1450 and the Live Rewind podcast. Currently, they have scholarship opportunities available for graduates in Sangamon and surrounding counties. See the link in the article for more information. Deadline to apply is March 1st, 2021. If you are looking for insurance, whether it's for your car, home, or life insurance, make sure you check out Country Financial.
What's up, guys? I'm Ben Hartle. I'm a senior at Springfield High, and this is the Live Rewind for the 2019 City Series against SHG.
All right, let's talk about the City Series first of all, because, I mean, you say city in this town, and it's just something special no matter what sport it is.
Right.
So what's it like in baseball for you guys?
It's not highly equated like it is in basketball or football or anything like that, but for us, it's huge. We love the rivalry between all three city teams. So like last year, you had the Saner boys on Southeast and Lanphier, and on like, you had those three sophomores on SHG that, man, we were highly awaited for this game. So it was crazy. It was something we practiced. It was something that we looked forward to the whole off season. And something that we didn't want to take lightly at all. I mean, looking back at it now, we ended up being 5-1. Could have been 6-0, but it was, that just shows you how highly competitive this league is. And those five wins that we had were not easy wins at all. I think two of them ended up being walk-offs.
Getting to play at Robin Roberts, I mean, I know you guys play there quite often during the season, but I mean, if you look around and the chance to play at that sort of a stadium is
right.
Kind of special.
Oh, for sure, it's huge. I remember going in as a freshman, playing my second varsity game there, and wow, it was crazy. I felt like a shrimp down on that field, but just that lip down in the infield and looking out from home plate, seeing 415 out in center, it's something. I remember watching like Sliders games out there, going out there all the time and playing, watching out there, but yeah, it was definitely something special playing at that ballpark.
Now, Coach Steinwertz been through his share of city games.
Right.
So does he tell you anything different before this game?
Nah, it's just play with the same energy and like intent. Like, we want to win from pitch one to the last pitch of the game. Like, we want that same bulldog mentality. We want to pay attention when they're not. We want to catch them on their heels. And that's how we play. We call it Steinwert baseball. Like, that's how we play. I mean, we're going to steal bags. Like, I remember in this game, we stole five bases, two of them without even a pitch being thrown. It's just, that's how we play. We'll bunt, we'll double suey, we do that. That's just how we play baseball. That's how Senator baseball is played.
That's gotta be exciting for you.
No,
as a baseball player who plays a lot, I mean, you see that style and it draws you in.
No, I love it, man. That's how you win ball games right there. That's how I love to win. I mean, knowing the fact that you win a baseball game like that, you don't have to win by home runs. I remember last year we hit two home runs the whole year. We still ended up with 18 wins. I mean, that's nothing to brag about. I'd love to have 25, 30, of course, wins, but some with only two home runs, like we know who we are. We're not a long ball team. We know that we have to steal bags and we're gonna have to take wins playing small ball.
Awesome, let's get started.
Opening day of the 2019 Baseball City Series out at Robin Roberts Stadium on Tuesday afternoon. The Springfield High Senators taking on the Sacred Heart Griffin Cyclones. SHG has one conference loss through 3 weeks, and the Senators have two. On Tuesday, it was Drew Fiernick throwing against Will Reiser. The Senators would strike first against Fiernick in the top of the first inning. Chad Holler comes up with two on, and folks would pass the first baseman into foul territory. Ben Hartle would come around to score, and Holler ends up at second. The Senators have runners on second and third, one in, and nobody out to start this one.
So that's something that we really preached last year, is throwing that first punch. We were the away team this game, so we're up first, right? I remember I was the leadoff man for this game, and I remember I remember I'm trying to get on as best as I can and get in scoring position, second base. I remember that's what we did. We ended up getting, I got a base knock on the second pitch of the game, I remember Luke Flessner walked, and then Chad Holler hit this ball, and we're up 1-0 with nobody out. And that's how, throwing that first punch, and then I think we ended up talking about this later in the video, but how Will Reiser goes into the game with a lead, more comfortable, not trying to win it by himself, and we have our bats behind him.
And that brings up Adam Passport, and the sophomore comes through with another knock. This one in shallow center field. Zach Richmond comes in to score. Spring Valley takes a 2-0 lead in the top of the first inning. And after that, both defenses would settle in. Jumping to the top of the fourth inning, Spring Valley has the bases loaded with one out, but Friedrich gets the grounder he was looking for. Sam Antonacci to Nathan Zegar, over to Brandon Kraft, and the double play ends the threatening.
And hats off to SAC. I remember in this game, I think they turned 3 or 4 double plays. I know that's Sam Ananachi and Zanger turning one right there, but I remember we got in some, I think bases loaded, nobody out 2 times. I don't think we scored twice that game. And so hats off to them, just some props.
So this is the fourth inning, and like you said, that happened a couple times.
Right.
Does it worry you at all that, you know, it's only a 2-0 lead and your defense is playing so well, you weren't able to kind of get those insurance runs?
I remember in the game feeling, I don't know, I felt so locked in this game where to the point where it didn't faze me at all. It didn't faze Will either. I think he threw six and one-third no hit, or that's how far we went. But I think it was just playing with that focus and that mentality that, yeah, we're not caving in. Like, this is how we're going to play this game.
We haven't seen it yet, but through 4 innings, what was Will throwing? Because, I mean, to keep SAC off the board is something.
It's actually crazy because Will didn't have his best stuff this game. I remember talking to him after the game. He couldn't get his changeup over for a strike. We dotted the fastball in and out. We kind of planned out how we were going to play some batters and how we were going to pitch to him. But I remember his curveball was working, kind of. But he was able to show it and have hitters on their toes for sure by throwing it. But I remember he just mixed up his timing really well and able to just get soft contact. I think he only had 4 Ks through 5 innings, which for Will, that's not Will, but able to work out for this game.
Keeps the Cyclones in this one, only down by 2 runs. On the other side of things, Will Reiser was having himself quite a day on the mound. The Senators' senior pitcher gets the strikeout here. He didn't give up a hit in his 5 innings of work on the day. Jump into the top of the 5th. The Senators have runners on the corners.
So I actually ended up thinking about this. So we had 5 seniors starting in the batting order and then 4 sophomores. One of them ended up being Kanan Squibb. It was his first varsity at bat, was the game 1 in City. He ended up not getting a hit, but I remember he had 5 huge at bats. I remember he had a sack bunt, so it was somebody runner on first, nobody out. He laid down a bunt, got the runner over to second, and I think he had 3 just rockets at people. And that's something like you won't see in the video, but that, having his first five varsity at bats and him hitting rockets like that, that's something that says special about this team. It's like that next one up mentality. So we have these guys that are ready to play and just ready to go, I guess.
And they purposely get into a rundown between first and second, and Passport comes sliding in to score. Senators get another run, go up 3-0. With Jax Hyde still up and a runner in scoring position now, the senior lefty comes through, a blast to right center field. The Cyclones can't get to it. Rico Johnson comes in to score. Hyde is in at second with the RBI double.
So in that first clip there, you saw like that Steinwart baseball we were talking about. That's a planned play, like you said in the video. We try and get an extensive lead and try and get picked off, and that's something that we practice a lot in practice. If not, Coach Steinor has a little present for us, but that's something that we win baseball games by. That's if you win, score one more than the other team, you win, right? So one run can make all the difference.
And then to close out that clip, Jack Hyde, I mean, how many times did he come through clutch in not only baseball games, but it seems like soccer games? I mean, the kid is just that guy.
I love that kid. He's such a great kid on and off the field. He's the same person, whether he's hitting 500 or he's hitting 100. He's all for the team. It's never for himself. He'll lay down bunts. Like that double, he might have had 2 doubles all season, but that's how he comes up clutch, just like you said. But it was for we, not me, for him. It was, and we're still like best friends to this day. And through all the adversity that he's been through with his eye and all that, he's something special right there.
Senators tack on two more in the fifth, and they go up 4-0. Top of the sixth now. The Senators get a runner on third, and actually she brings in the infield, hoping to keep Springfield at four runs. But Chad Holler makes them pay. Holler blasts one to short. The Cyclones can't handle it. It's 5-0 Senators in the sixth, and then later in the inning,
So that's kind of like the perks of playing at Robin Roberts, right? I think in this game, I think there were 5 errors. I think they committed 3 and we had 2. And that's just something that you have to play out in this game, that this game isn't going to be perfect and stuff like that's going to go wrong. It's how you recover from it. And that's also something that Coach Steinwart preaches very heavily.
Hunters on 2nd and 3rd. Rico Johnson up the bat, and the senior takes his turn, driving in a couple. The RBI single, and it's 7-0 Springfield High, needing just 6 outs to win this one. But SHG didn't go down quietly. Bottom of the 6th, bases juice for the leadoff hitter Isaiah Thompson. But Blake Pettis is pitching in relief, and he gets the fly out to left field. That is a threat to keep the...
So Blake was huge for us all year. He's another guy that you won't hear much about. He had the lowest ERA on the team, the most saves, and again, like nobody hears of him. He had that bulldog mentality that we like, that never quit, that he will not lose. He will refuse to lose. He's just a winner, and that's just the kind of guys that Springfield High Baseball produces.
The shutout alive, and the Senators will keep that shutout in the 7th. Pettis gets a strikeout to end this one. Springfield High beats SHG 7-0 in the opener. Will Reiser gets the win for the Senators.
First off, talk about the job your starting pitcher, senior Will Reiser, did.
Yeah,
five innings.
I got you.
4 minutes left.
I got you.
But watching that win, I mean, going back now, what does that bring to mind?
Oh, that brings a lot to mind. That I think so. My freshman year, the year before this, we got 10 runs both games in city against SHG. To come out with a shutty, the game right after that, that's huge. That means that we've been working on stuff. That means that we didn't have that no quit attitude. That we just played, man. I mean, just played our game. We didn't put too much pressure on ourselves. We just played how we know we can play. And this game was huge moving on for the season, because this was like our big win, right? So we had that big win, and we can move on to the next one and know that that SHG team was a great team. Drew threw well. I know Isaiah came in later that game and threw well. That the fact that we beat them 7-0, I mean, that's just how baseball's played, right? We got beat the next night, props to them, but...
Then you split a share of the title.
Exactly, yeah. So it just shows that, yeah, we can hang with the big dogs. Like, we got this. I mean, just play our game. It doesn't matter who they have on their team, how we play. It's just how you recover from mistakes.
So that was 2019. Everyone knows what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
That was your junior season. I mean, can you imagine if you miss your senior season? Does it make next year a little bit more special knowing that you'll get that chance?
For sure, yeah. Just getting to wear the Senator baseball jersey one more time. Of course, that's not how I wanted to play my junior season, but it's how you recover from all this. It's how you look at it. It's the mindset of not being defeated. It's how that positive outlook and going forward.
So how did this affect what you did recruiting-wise, and kind of what did you do this summer? Who did you play for to kind of keep baseball in your life?
So it definitely affected a lot. I had multiple Division I colleges come out to come watch me this summer, and that couldn't happen because of this whole COVID thing. The dead period got extended, and so they weren't able to come out. So it definitely affected, and especially that college athletes got their eligibility back for one more year. So that definitely affected my choice. And so I played for Game 7 Legacy up in Bloomington, Illinois. Me and a couple guys from Springfield play on that team. So we played 4 tournaments in like Nashville, Wisconsin, Indiana, and one in Bloomington, Illinois. And it was just definitely weird at first to play baseball. Definitely having a like only 10 months off of playing a game was weird, but it just picks up. It's like, it's the norm. But it was very, it was very hard to recruit because it was all video oriented and having to take video, send it to coaches, and just that uncertainty caused a lot of stress, of course, and definitely making a decision now is a big relief.
So you make your decision. How much of your decision to go to Heartland is based on the fact that there will be kind of a logjam in college baseball for the next couple of years?
It definitely was a big part of my decision. But even if it wasn't for COVID, Heartland just felt right. It just felt like I can get better at baseball. I could be the best at baseball I can possibly be coming out of there.
Why is the JUCO route so popular for baseball compared to other sports?
The JUCO, for baseball at least, you'll find talent at all levels. As long as you work your butt off, you're gonna do good. So the JUCO route for baseball, you grind. It's a grind session. Like, you can talk to Trevor Mender and Damian Pierce, the Springfield High grads, and they'll tell you the same exact thing. It's not the pretty lifestyle. It's really not. JUCO has like unlimited practice times, and they play 30 games in the fall and 60 in the spring, when Division I play like 50 in the spring. So I think playing more baseball all around the year and being able to coaches to recruit, and just 2 more years of development. Say you go to a D1, that's not a very good chance you play as a freshman. So I think being able to go play right away or just a chance to play right away, working hard for it, definitely is a good route.
So you mentioned Mender and Pierce, who came from Springfield High. And it seemed like when they were coming out, the popular place was Parkland.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people from around here go to Lincolnland. So,
right.
I mean, this summer, Heartland really jumped on this area and
right.
recruited it really well. What are they doing right to get these guys?
So I know their head coach really well. He was my summer baseball coach this past year. So after the summer, he recruited me, and it just felt right, man. I took a visit, and they feel like they develop guys. They get guys onto the next level really well, and that's something that's very big for me. They are very passionate about development and players and fundamentals, which I really like. And they're just a very good baseball club, and so is Parkland, and so is Lincolnland. It's just I mean, personally, I wanted to kind of get out of Springfield. I love Springfield, but a little ride down I-55 isn't too bad to go play ball, but it just felt right.
And then talk about, you committed to Heartland a little bit ago, but I mean, the CSA guys, the area guys after
right.
you that decided to join you as well. I mean,
right.
the talent is definitely there.
For sure, it is there. It's like Sam Ananachi, Daniel Moselle in U-High, Drew Martin from Mount Pulaski. We're all kind of boys. We talk, we hit when we can. And we all said to each other, it was actually really cool. It was, we didn't impact each other's decision. Of course we did, like, because we're friends and all that, and we want to do what's best for each other. But we all said, like, this is what's best for us. Like, if it wasn't for any of us, I would still be going to Heartland if Sam didn't go, and that's what Sam said too. It was really cool.
Like you mentioned, you had a lot of D1 interest. Sam had a ton of D1 interest as well. Drew did. I mean, all those guys could have went D1. So is it kind of just like, I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but getting the chance to play together at the JUCO level, get better and play right away. I mean, that's just
right.
It's huge right now in terms of where baseball's at and where baseball will
100%.
Be in the next 5 years.
100%, yeah, and all comes down, there's so many factors to it, campus, financially, whether it works, whether there's guys at your position at that college or not. It's a definitely a heart-wrenching experience, but it's definitely a relief now that it's over.
So what is the ultimate goal for you? 2 years at Heartland, then, you know, what's next?
I really don't know. I'd like to transfer into Division I and hopefully get drafted, if that's the case. But yeah, the whole end goal of this is to go play professional baseball.
How long has that been your dream, and why is that something special for you?
It's always been a dream. Everybody dreams of, you know, hitting that 3-2 home run to win the World Series. Just every kid has that dream. But over the last couple of years, just being at these scout events and seeing the talent, I can't get enough of it. It's just this game means too much. It's not who I am. It's what I do. That's the thing when they come to baseball players. Like they say, like, that's your whole life. That's not how I want to see it. That's just what I do. But just baseball is baseball is what I do, and that's what I want to do for a career.
Baseball, you're pretty good at. Fisherman, maybe not so much, but rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Maybe a future in that as well.
I mean, if there's a professional rock, paper, scissors competition, count me in.
That was Ben Hartle for Live Rewind. Thanks for listening.